From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we're on the Forum for the Fans. Bleed Blue Show. Ranger Podcast with RP, Ranger Proud. NHL playoffs. I'm going to talk a little bit of the playoffs right now in the bubble in Edmonton and Toronto. We'll get to those games. Been some fun series. Won't be here long because we want to get to some of these night games. As one game currently in session as we do this episode with the Islanders and the Capitals. But that game in particular tied at two heading into the third intermission as we do this episode. And later tonight we'll definitely watch Vegas Golden Knights versus the Chicago Blackhawks. But sad news, man. Former Winnipeg Jet legend, NHL Hockey Hall of Famer Dale Hawerchuk died. One of the underrated superstars of the 80s passed away. I think he had a cancer. I'm not exactly sure what type of cancer, but relatively young, and that's the one thing about life, man. You just never know when it's your time to go. If you can remember, like when I studied up on the hockey in the 80s, those Winnipeg Jet teams that came into fruition when they became a franchise in the early 80s, I had a bad couple of teams. They were able to land Dale Hawerchuk in the draft. It was a loaded draft with Chris Chelios and Grant Fuhr. So that team in particular, the Winnipeg Jets, they were for whatever. They could never get past Edmonton, from what I can remember. As you know, Edmonton was the dynasty. They were the team that won five Stanley Cups, Hall of Famers all over the place with Coffey, Gretzky, Messier, and Graves on that team, Grant Fuhr. But that Winnipeg Jet team was pretty damn good. They turned it around. They turned the franchise around. Just could not get past Edmonton, from what I can remember. They had their relative success in the playoffs, always had their battles with, like, the Calgary Flames. But every time they ran into Edmonton, it was a done deal. And I think he had got traded to Buffalo after that. And that's kind of when I got into hockey. He was already a Sabre at that point when they traded him. But Dale Hawerchuk, who had Rookie of the Year, and, of course, several 100-point seasons, 500-goal scorer, passed away, and condolences to him and his family and to the hockey fans that remember his play throughout his career. And he was a coach up through the smaller Canadian circuit. So, yeah, I just wanted to give that as a shout-out. I was watching the game tonight, Islanders and Capitals game currently in session. I thought the Islanders were on the way to a sweep. But the second period for the in game four, the Capitals have found a way to turn it around. Got some good play, got a goal. Just cut the lead in half by Konecikov, and then that power play goal by Ovechkin. They started to play Capital light hockey. We wondered where the hell it's been all series. They've been thoroughly outplayed by all four lines by the Islanders up until this point. But right now that game's 2-2. Going to watch the third period and try to get through this episode and try to get off as fast as possible and watch all the rest of the games. But also, just speaking of that series, I don't want to go through the East and go through the West. The Islanders have been playing very fantastic, being grudge-lay hockey, all four lines. It doesn't matter. They definitely controlled the pace all series long. The Capitals just look flat as well. I mean, they look flat even in the round robin series. But Beauvillier and Brock Nelson and of course Matthew Bozark and Anders Lee. I mean, this team is a typical grinded Barry Trotz type team. And surprisingly, the Capitals have not matched their intensity up until the second period of Game Four. That's kind of how I looked at this series. This has been pure dominance by the New York Islanders. So we shall see how the rest of this game will go. By the time you guys listen to this episode, we will know the conclusion. Maybe the Islanders do sweep, or have swept the Capitals, or maybe the Capitals force a game five. But watching the series, they have done a good job making the Capitals very uncomfortable. As we know, the Islanders, they are very rugged with their forecheck, and they really play a balanced hockey with all their shifts. All the guys get equal, I guess you could say, TOI, time on the ice, as far as making things rugged for them. They have balance everywhere, you know, the Eberle line, and go look into the Barzal line, all the way to the Clutterbuck line, which really is a difference maker in this series. So Bagal has been effective as well, and it's been a good trade for them. And throughout this playoffs thus far, the Islanders are with a commanding 3-0 lead, trying to seal the deal on the Washington Capitals. The Capitals could definitely turn it around. I mean, they got the firepower, the experience, the veterans. I saw Tom Wilson does what Tom Wilson does to try to fire them up as far as hard hits, some borderline with penalties and borderline dirty plays. But the Islanders, let's see what happens in the last 20 minutes of that game. I also, you know, as far as watching the games, the Boston-Carolina series, and it's kind of, I would say it breaks my heart, but it kind of annoys me a little bit as a Rangers fan, because the Rangers just got simply outworked, outplayed by the Carolina. It was just not a close series. But you run into a Boston team, two teams that have met in the previous year in the Eastern Conference Finals. The teams definitely know each other, of course, but Boston does not mind the intensity. Boston is definitely going to bring it. They're up 3-1 on their series. It's been a very physical series. Game two, when Carolina won to tie up the series, I won. But Boston is very veteran-like, workman-like. You go with Charlie Coyle, you go to Patrice Bergeron, who had actually the double OT winner. David Krejci, they all have played well, even to the point where Brad Marchand finally got something going in game three in that series. So all what you saw out of the top line from the Carolina Hurricanes versus the Rangers has kind of been somewhat neutralized versus the Bruins in the first round in Toronto. So, and then there's also the fact that Boston has done well without Tuukka Rask in net in one of those games. So what are we expect? Do you think Carolina is going to be able to come back from 3-1? I must say no. I don't think there's going to be a chance that the Bruins are going to blow a 3-1 lead. They have the balance on their lineup. They've been a top hockey club in the East with the Tampa Bay Lightning, your Washington Capitals-type teams over the last several years. Maybe Philadelphia was a rude awakening in the round-robin series because they got thoroughly outplayed. Now I'll get to Philadelphia in a minute, but Boston with a commanding 3-1 lead. I just think Carolina may have lost a little bit of confidence. Maybe they can shake it off, but knowing that they were up 2-0 through two periods in game number four, where this was a chance to tie up the series at 2-2, Carolina controlled everything in game four through 40 minutes. But there was a stretch midway through the third period. Everything just went out of sync, out of control. And it all started with Jake DeBrusk for the Bruins, and he was everywhere. And because of that, the Bruins were able to score three goals in a 4-minute stretch in the third period, the middle of the third period. They really take command of that game. They were down 2-0, came back with 3-4 unanswered goals and never looked back. And I think that could have hurt Carolina, maybe a little bit of confidence shaker. They're professional. They probably could shake it off. But I think that's going to give a lot of confidence to the Bruins, knowing that they could be down 2-0 and come back against this team. And we're going to see what happens in game five. I think I thought the overtime game in game one was an excellent game in the Boston-Carolina series. I just think I just don't see where Boston's going to lose the next three to lose the series to the Carolina Hurricanes. I just definitely do not see that. They got the good veterans. They got the good camaraderie. The lines are clicking. But between Patrice Bergeron in particular and Jake DeBras, I mean, they've been rolling over there in that series versus Carolina. And we haven't even seen a lot of passion knock a lot in that series. You know, he's kind of been a little bit quiet to my taste. So 3-1 series right now, Boston, Carolina. We'll see how that will go for the rest of the first round. We'll recoup and see how this thing goes next week. Tampa Bay and Columbus, this is now, we all talked, me and RP, we talked about this last week. Right? We talked about the crazy 5-overtime game, one of the best hockey games in a long time. I mean, there's always, it's almost cliche saying that, but when you play 5 overtimes, and we talked about this last week, and the fans were not physically there to enjoy it, it kind of sucks in that aspect, that angle. But overall, a game that started, 3 o'clock last week, last Tuesday, it ended up at, 9 o'clock because of the 5 overtimes. Teams were tired. Tampa Bay, as I said last week, needed that game a lot more than Columbus. And for all the reasons we said that these are the same two teams that played last year, where Tampa Bay was the heavy favorite and got embarrassed by the Columbus Blue Jackets, got outworked. After being down 3-0 in that first period of game one last year and came back roaring back and never looked back and just put the ass whooping to the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I know Tampa Bay Lightning, when they saw the Columbus Blue Jackets at the first round matchup, it's like, oh God, here we go again. But this is actually turning out to where I think the Lightning is favorable about this. And in this particular series, up until this point, it's been pretty much the Braden Point, Yanni Gourde show. Those guys have played very spectacular with a lot of their scoring. Braden Point, in particular, is on fire. You know, he has goals after goals, and it seems like in every game. And Columbus, after the game two, after tying it up, Tampa Bay's been able to get the edge, and they've had this all the experience with Victor Hedman and Ryan McDonough, and of course Stamkos and Kucherov. Those guys haven't really gotten going, and of course Alex Killorn and Tyler Johnson. The balance on there, they're playing confident, and maybe it's not a lot has to do with a lot of the fans necessarily, but they've kind of locked in against Tampa Bay. I mean, if there's anything with John Tortorella to lean on, he's going to tell them, you've been down to this team before. You've been down 3-1. You definitely have a chance to come back. That's definitely on the table. You've been up before on this team. You're always going to be. So, yeah, I definitely expect maybe Columbus wins the next game and then force a game six to see where this goes. This is a one game at a time type of series. And Columbus, you know, how could Columbus get back as far as Seth Jones and Cam Atkinson, those type of guys? What are they going to do to get back? Nick Foligno, what kind of game plan to offset Braden Point, offset Yanni Gourde? They got to keep him off the score sheet, but then if they keep him off the score sheet, what about Kucherov? Because you still have to worry about him. He's definitely still a major threat scoring-wise, and they did a good job containing him. But, I mean, Columbus has their hands full, and it's not the same Tampa Bay Lightning lack of intensity from last year that's carried over into the bubble this year. Tampa Bay is playing pretty relatively well, I think. They could definitely actually play better, honestly. But up right now, 3-1, Tampa Bay is over the Columbus Blue Jackets. Philadelphia and Montreal, right? Philadelphia. Now, talk about, you know, a team that I didn't think was going to be the top of the heap in the entire Eastern Conference, given the opportunity to play those round-robin games. They have taken a full advantage and locked up the number one seed in Philadelphia with Lane Vigneault in his first year. We talked about this in all season with Kevin Hayes getting that $7 million a year contract. Philadelphia is flying, man. I mean, they are grinding. This is a team defensively has been outstanding and has been really and definitely doing it to a Montreal team that's kind of – we've kind of wanted to see them do good things with all their lines. And they've got past Pittsburgh. Give them kudos, and I apologize to them last week as far as, you know, sleeping on them. But Philadelphia, they came out very aggressive. They are doing a good job against Montreal when it comes to Gallagher and Philip Deneau and Shea Weber, keeping those guys containing. That's a very balanced team in Montreal. But the two straight shutouts, they get the one goal lead and locked up the defense to get another goal, insurance goal. And Carter Hart has been very phenomenal as far as making the quality saves and back-to-back shutouts in that series. Every shift is a grind for the Flyers. As a matter of fact, every shift is a grind for the opposing team in the round-robin series and now the Canadiens. The Canadiens down 3-1. It would not surprise me if Montreal got at least one game back, maybe force a game six. I just think Philadelphia is just on something else because they were playing well heading into the bubble. They were playing well heading into the bubble situation. But I just think that the Flyers are just playing the best hockey probably in the entire NHL. Maybe them and the Golden Knights is just complete hockey. Well, different styles, but just playing to the best of their rosters. I just think Philadelphia, and I think a lot of people slept on them because they kind of almost get overlooked. For the last several years, they've kind of underachieved. They've kind of had good pieces, Sean Couturier, and then Voracek and Claude Giroux. Like, you know the typical Flyer players, Konecny and Derek Grant on that other line. But they've mixed and matched a lot of lines. AV did a good job putting a lot of back. See, I think that's another thing that Flyers, they were a lot always top heavy. So when you got to the second and third lines, you could kind of expose that. But they did a good job as far as the balance of putting Claude Giroux somewhere in the second and third line. Mix and match, put it with Scott Lofton. And then, of course, the fourth line has been doing their job, man, making it really rugged and defensive, man. But Couturier and Jacob Voracek, man, they've been playing very, very well, man. Konecny too, man. It's just they've got it going on, man, in Philadelphia. And then, of course, the defensemen have done their job, man. I mean, they probably, as a unit, have been the best in the bubble. Philip Myers, Provorov, those guys defensively on those two defensive lines separately. With their Niskanen and paired off with Provorov, they really put the clamps on skates. I mean, they really, really have. I expect Philadelphia to get past Montreal. I don't think there's going to be no surprise to that. They've, by far, what they've done in the round-robin series to the best teams in the East, yeah, I think they'll find a way to get past Montreal. Montreal has been playing very frustrated, and Carey Price could only but do so much if they can't get the scoring that they need. So, yeah. So those are the four series in the East. I wanted to see where we stand right now as the Capitals and the Islanders are in session. Now, the Capitals have a lead. I don't know how they got that now going back to this game. The Capitals are not going down without a fight. So right now, maybe the Islanders are going to try to tie it up halfway through the third period. But the Islanders want to go for the sweep. You do not want to play around with the Washington Capitals, obviously. So in the West, let me get to the West real quick. I watched that game today, man. Dallas getting the win at the end of regulation, going up 3-2 on the Calgary Flames. This has probably been the funnest series I watched in the first round. This has been back and forth along with St. Louis and Vancouver. But Calgary and Dallas, this has been a back and forth fun series. Cam Talbot has done his job in net for the Flames, former Ranger, former Edmonton Oiler. The first two games, I thought the contributions for the Cowboys really didn't come from their main guns like Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau, those type of guys, or Brady Kachuk. But I think, you know, guys like Sam Bennett and Dylan Dubé have really held the fort down to those guys have got to get going, really. I mean, that's kind of where it is with the Flames. And Johnny Gaudreau in Game 5, I was watching it earlier today, and he had a shot on goal or shot attempt that went on goal that I think he kind of wanted to have back, and he saw the frustration on his face in that third period in Game 5, late in that game, to tie or the attempt to tie it up. But on the Dallas side of things, you know, one of the games where Joe Pavelski had the hat trick, Radulov and Corey Perry, and Corey Perry, I mean, this is why they kind of got him from the Anaheim Ducks. He's a longtime Duck and very good player for that team. Kind of like same with Joe Pavelski with the Sharks and coming over to Dallas and getting those type of veterans to try to push them over the top. They had that shorthanded goal. With the Flames, in the Flames situation, I talk about Dylan Dubé and Sam Bennett. But Michael Backlund, he's another guy who's kind of been holding the fort down. He had the shorthanded goal in one of the games. I think it was in Game 3, if I'm not mistaken. But got to be consistent, man. And I think Game 5, Dallas was able to get a lot. See, the problem with the Dallas Stars, they had a lot of chances and shots on goal, and when they had chances to put the Flames away or get a little bit of cushion in their series or their game, they play a little bit of sloppy hockey, turnovers in their own zone, and created quality shot attempts for the Calgary Flames, and that's including not their main guys getting going. I don't know what's going to happen for the rest of the series with Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau, Kachuk. So, you know, they have to, you know, obviously one more game. You know, this is probably a seven-game series written all over. I think Calgary's going to probably find a way to tie up the series. It's been back and forth all series. It's been a fun series pretty much to watch. But that last that play in the third period, the 6-on-5 Calgary with the 6-on-5, and then there was about 20 seconds left in the third period, and Dallas ended up with a tripping penalty, and there was a 6-on-4 situation with 20 seconds left, and they were not able to convert a goal. So the Dallas Stars, as of right now, up 3-2 on their series on the Flames. I think Calgary definitely ties the series, though. I believe that for sure. I want to get to the other three series. Let me see, which way can I go with this? I'll say Vancouver and St. Louis for last. Vegas Golden Knights is going to be Chicago tonight, and they're going to get past them. They're going to, and that's it. After that, I even talk about this on this podcast, I expect the Golden Knights to finish off the Blackhawks. They have the Golden Knights have a lot of hungry veterans on that team. A lot of guys who are hungry for the cup. And this may be the year to do it. 2 years ago, when they ran into the Capitals' wrong team, probably, if they probably play anybody else in the East, they probably win it. But this year, the bubble situation has kind of helped guys. They have firepower all over the ice. Good goaltending, of course, with Fleury. And their backups, either who you want to throw in there, Pacey Already, William Carrier, it doesn't matter, Shane Theodore. Stasny, Vegas Golden Knights, too much firepower for the Blackhawks. Give credit to the Blackhawks getting past Edmonton in their own home city in the bubble, but I just don't see it, man. I mean, most of these games, man, the Golden Knights has just destroyed them, man. And same thing for, and I'm going to get to this other series, Colorado and Arizona. They put up a seventh spot last night on the Coyotes. Colorado has really benefited from the bubble because going into the bubble, they had a lot of injuries, and they were still one of the top teams in the West. This is one of those teams that they were on their way. Remember, they got past Calgary last year, and I said they were going to be Calgary, and they got past them. They're arriving, man. Colorado and Vegas are on a verge of a collision course in the Western Conference Finals. Too much scoring from Ratanen, Kadri, Nathan McKinnon, Arizona, nice team, good Edward Vlasic, Michael Grabner, Derek Stepan, and you got the youth with Clayton Keller and, of course, Taylor Hall. I mean, he got a nice little team, just not Colorado. Just definitely not Colorado. Colorado's probably going to win in 5 or 6, and that's pretty much that on that series. They just bulldozed the Arizona Coyotes. It just, every time I look at it, when they're playing, it just doesn't seem like Arizona could keep up. And that's kind of how I feel about that series, and kind of how I feel with the Vegas Golden Knights when they play Chicago. The last series, man, this has been a back and forth too with the Canucks going up 2-0 on the Blues. Didn't count those St. Louis Blues out because this is kind of they kind of actually enjoy being down. This is probably gives them more motivation. But the Canucks have a very good power play unit, and they have used it to their advantage. And with the Canucks, it's pretty much been Bo Horvat and Elias Pettersson with a lot of their scoring. And I think St. Louis is kind of trying to adjust it at the last couple of games. The two goals to start the third period in game one gave that Canucks that separation in game one and win that game. And then they second, you know, game two and went to the overtime. But Vancouver was just a skate ahead of St. Louis. It just seemed that watching that game, staying up, watching those games on the West Coast in Edmonton. But St. Louis has the heart of the champion. You just can't write them off. This is why they have Ryan O'Reilly. I always talk about this with RP, and it's why he's come over in that trade. The overtime winner in game three with Brandon Shen. Going into the third period, and Perron got that extra goal as well. Pietrangelo is just a winner, a true captain of that team. And then how in game four, like I said, Ryan O'Reilly really showed out, especially in that second period. And this is kind of where we are. It would not surprise me if the Canucks won it, but I think St. Louis is going to find a way to get past Vancouver. I think this is probably going to go 6. Wouldn't be surprised if it goes 7. So that's kind of my outlook right now through the playoffs as of right now. It's been some fun games. The 5 overtime game last week, Columbus and Tampa Bay, probably the game of the year in any sport. Philadelphia is just suffocating teams right now, just pretty much suffocating. Boston is finally waking up to what we know of Boston. They look flat in the round-robin tournament. They look uninterested. But maybe it took some time to get the rhythm. And they're back in Tampa Bay, kind of look like what they should have been, the 2019 version of the Lightning. But they look better versus Columbus this time around. And out in the West, Vegas and Colorado. I mean, it's kind of what I thought how it's going to go. There's really no surprises. But like I said, the Flames and the Stars have been, in the first round, for me, my favorite series. It's been a nice back and forth, fun series. The Sunday game, then in the game today, earlier this afternoon. So yeah. But check out the episodes, man, and the rest of the content of what we do, all the rest of the sports. We'll be back next week. We'll see where we at with the rest of the playoffs. Sangre Asu, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop, bleep bloop.